Well, this Lenten season, we have been on a journey of relationship, looking at our relationship with Jesus, with God, with one another, looking at our relationship with ourselves. And through this, we've been using the Gospel of Mark as a roadmap for us, moving through a couple chapters a week. And this week, we'll be looking at chapters 9 and 10. Now, just heads up, next week, chapter 11, you see where this is going, right? So I invite you to read along with us in 11 and 12 next week. But it's an interesting piece as we get into this, because we've seen a lot of different movements and moments with Jesus. Jesus was about relationship. He loved to sit with people. He loved to share in stories. He loved to find out where people's pains were and just be with them. Jesus was really good about offering a comforting presence in moments of difficulty. He could be a kind and listening ear. But Jesus also could make things really awkward and uncomfortable. And that's what we're going to find this week. As we move into chapter 9 and 10, we're going to realize that Jesus is not only good at all those beautiful things, but he's also good at getting really personal and making folks uncomfortable. And I think we'll find that that's not always a bad thing. You know how there are those people in life that just have a way of disarming you, who can make you feel so safe and welcome just by their presence? Well, this week, Jesus isn't that guy. Now, I know he can do that. But like I said, there are moments where sometimes the opposite is what's really needed. And I want you to see how good he is at this in the 10th chapter of Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. And you know the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." And the man looked at Jesus and said, "Teacher, I've kept all those since my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the man heard this, he was shocked, and he went away grieving, for he had a lot of possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God." Anybody squirming? Because you should be. We all should be. Let's not forget, I'm preaching a sermon and reading a scripture on materialism from my iPad. So, what's happening here? The story begins simple enough. Somebody asks Jesus a question. You think they'd learn by now. Asking Jesus questions never turns out well. Okay, it does, but it's not easy. See, this is when it gets complicated, because Jesus doesn't answer questions in a simple way. Jesus is asked the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And at first, Jesus doesn't seem to answer him very deeply. I mean, really, think about it. Here's this hot, all-the-rage new teacher, crowds following around, people are saying he's the Messiah, and he just lists off the Ten Commandments? I mean, really, I could have gotten that anywhere. But if you listen, Jesus didn't list all the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments actually come to us in two main sections. There's one set about our relationship with God, and one set about our relationship with other people. And Jesus works his way through that second set, the commandments about relating to other people. And he starts listing all of them, except one. Here's the list. "You shall not murder," Jesus says. "You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." There's one thing missing from this list. "Thou shalt not covet." And I wonder, I mean, why is it missing? Did Jesus forget? How embarrassing, right? You're like, there's number 7, number 8. There's two more. I don't know, be good to people. I mean, like, Jesus wouldn't do that. I mean, he knew this stuff. In fact, it was quite the opposite of an accident. Jesus knows exactly what he's not saying. Jesus doesn't need to say don't covet because This guy doesn't need to covet anything. The guy he's talking to is so rich and has so much of everything and is so comfortable, there's nothing left for him to covet in the world. That guy can't break that one commandment. So this is the guy who looks at Jesus and says, okay, I've done those other things, but what do I need to do? It's like he's running up with a checklist. Okay, my eternal life scorecard. Yes, yes, yes. Is there anything I'm missing? Because I've got some time to keep working on extra credit. He's looking for any of those check boxes he might have missed. So Jesus offers him one last thing. An invitation to follow him. Now lots of people followed Jesus. There were the people Jesus invited. And there's plenty of folks that just came along. But Jesus asks something of this man. Jesus asks him to give up everything. Total liquidation. Now this would be a lot for the man with everything. I mean, he'd need people with those little arrow signs spinning on the corner. Everything must go. I tell you, the guy in our story can't do this. Now I had to think long and hard about what word to use here. Should I have said the man in our story can't do this? Or the man in our story won't do this? I'm going to go with can't. The man can't do this. And it's not just because I'm not sure if there were enough people to buy all of his stuff. But I think what Jesus was asking of him was too much, too fast. And I think Jesus knew this. I think Jesus set him up. Here's a guy who has everything. He's done well for himself. He's doing everything right. If there's something he's supposed to do, he does it. Oh, that's a lot of doing, isn't it? Just like so many people Jesus encountered, this guy thinks that whatever God has to offer, we're the ones who will do all of the things to get it. We will accomplish them on our own merit, and we will earn whatever it is God has to offer us. And Jesus pushes back on that. Because we can't do anything except receive. And that's one thing that made people really uncomfortable. What do you mean it's not up to me? What do you mean it's out of my control? I just have to trust? What do you mean I can't do anything about this to make sure it's going to go the way I want? Are you squirming? Because you should be. Jesus first shows this man that there is nothing he can do. And to be honest, that's what he would learn if he followed Jesus. He would learn that God is the one doing it. That God is the one who accomplishes, and we are the ones who receive. Not because of anything we've done, but simply because God loves us. But the lesson and the discomfort goes further. Because then Jesus indicts our stuff. Notice I didn't say the rich man's stuff. I said our stuff. Are you squirming yet? Because you should be. How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? Now, I know there's a wide variety of financial status in this room. There are folks who are on a shoestring to folks with a string of numbers on the balance sheet and everything in between. But what I'm talking about here applies to all of us. It's not about dollar signs. It's not about the quantity or net worth of our stuff. What we're talking about here is our relationship to our stuff. How we relate to and rely on stuff is what Jesus is speaking to here. If we have stuff, are we afraid of losing it? And if we don't have stuff, do we really long to? Are you squirming? Jesus says our stuff will get between us and the kingdom of God. Now, most often, people think of this in a temporal way. You know, here I am now, and there's heaven then, and the stuff in the middle might prevent me from getting there. Like it's some sort of timeline. But do we actually hear Jesus talk about heaven in this scripture? Probably not as much as you think. Or at least in the way that you think. Jesus uses the word heaven once, talking about storing up treasures. But in this scripture, Jesus is not talking about getting into heaven someday in the future. Now, Jesus in our scriptures talk about heaven. I believe in heaven. But this scripture is talking about something else. Listen. How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were perplexed at these words. And Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When Jesus is speaking about our stuff getting in the way, he's talking about it keeping us from the kingdom of God. Heaven and the kingdom of God are two different things the way Jesus is talking about them here. And if we recognize that, we find a powerful word of hope. Jesus isn't telling us what we can't have. Jesus is telling us what we can have. The kingdom of God is a way of encountering and living into life all around us. I want to take you back to the very first words Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark. Here's what it is. "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has arrived." When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's not talking about now and later. The time is fulfilled. Time is irrelevant in the kingdom of God. Because in this scripture, Jesus isn't talking about someday. He's talking about today. When Jesus says our stuff will get between us and the kingdom of God, he's speaking practically about right now. The kingdom of God is at hand, and we don't want to miss it. You see, our vision gets cluttered by our stuff. And we can't see that God's kingdom surrounds us right now. You see, if we love our stuff and we think it's going to bring us what we really want, if we're getting too comfortable to seek what we really need from God's kingdom, we're going to miss out. Because when the stuff fails us, and it always does, no matter what the warranty promises, when our stuff fails us, God's kingdom will still be waiting for us. But we'll have missed out on moments that could have been richer. Jesus doesn't want us to miss out on a life that could have been richer today. Jesus doesn't want us to miss out on moments that instead of fleeting and material, could have touched the eternal and the divine today. Right here and right now. God's kingdom, the ultimate blessing and love of God's kingdom is right here, right now. If we can see it, if we can experience it, if we can live into it. And to do those things, to see it, experience, and live into it, we need to get some of the stuff out of the way. We need to get jostled out of our material comfort. We need to let the words of Jesus make us a little bit uncomfortable so that we might open our eyes a little bit more. Are you squirming? Because I hope so. Amen.